lot going on, a lot of people we need to thank to make all this happen today. Certainly, Squire Creek, the Davisons, they're being as hospitable as they have been to allow us to come out here to eat. Nice getaway, getting out of the office and getting off campus a little bit to get out here to this beautiful facility. So thank you to them. Congratulations to Willie Rofe. Going to be an exciting weekend where we have an opportunity to honor him. We were talking just the other day about so many of the things to sell with this athletic department and with this university and with this football program as we are on the recruiting trails, and spent last week with a lot of the staff being out recruiting. And one of the things was a lot of the past players that have been here, guys like Willie Rofe and what they've accomplished, and being in the NFL Hall of Fame, being in the College Hall of Fame, really neat things. So congratulations to him. And then for the Bulldogs tackling breast cancer this week, and the hat that Patrick was talking about, the proceeds going to Wigan Out to help so many people in this area that have gone through this cancer, from some of the physical scars and emotional scars that it goes through. And so certainly excited to have an opportunity to be a part of that. So all in all, it's going to be a big weekend for Bulldogs tackling breast cancer, for Willie Rofe, for that, and for the Bulldogs having the opportunity to play UTSA this weekend. So really excited, a lot going on. Always have kind of started everyone with the last opponent, but seems like the last opponent was in 2013, so long ago being 2 weeks ago, with a 55-3 win with UTEP. And just in an overall recap, I thought it was our most complete game that we've played to date. I thought our defense played really well. I thought they played together. They made some things happen. I thought our defense set some things up. They created a lot of turnovers, setting up some positive field positions. And then offensively, I thought we really executed well. It's as well as we've thrown the deep ball. I thought Cody Sokol stood in there, made some great throws, had some fantastic catches. The big play, obviously, to Carlos Henderson. Then Marcus Gaines getting in on it, making the deep touchdown catch. Hunter Lee making his touchdown catch after the turnover. Just a lot of really positive things on both sides of the ball. And I thought it was our most complete game from a special team standpoint. And was asked a couple times, do you wish you were playing again next week? Which you certainly would have liked to take that momentum and ride that right into the next game with the attitude of the players and everything. But I think this open date has been very beneficial for us. It was needed from an injury standpoint to get some guys back, to get some guys healthy. Was one of the goals that we had this week, that we needed to get some guys with bumps and bruises healthy. But at the same time, it was a very physical week for a lot of the guys that maybe haven't played a lot, that have been twos on the depth chart. We had a lot of, I mean, we probably had 70 or 80 plays a team against each other on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. We're in full pads all 3 days. But I think really watched some guys get some reps. And there's a couple younger players that may have an opportunity to play a little bit more of a significant role in the second half of the season as we go forward, because I think it was a very beneficial open date for us. Getting into UTSA this week, it's going to be a great challenge. I don't think you can look at this team and just look at their win-loss record and determine who they are. And then when you look at them, they opened the season. They were one of the teams that was picked to win the West by a lot of people who gave them first place votes to win the West. They returned 18 starters. They have a really good football team. At the end of the year last year, they beat us 30-10 at their place. A really physical football team coming back. And they go down to Houston. They play a bowl team from a year ago. They open their stadium. They win 27-7. They lose a heartbreaker 26-23 to Arizona in the second game of the year. Then they went to Oklahoma State in a very game similar. Kind of, they got beat like 48-13, but it was a very close football game for most of that game. And then there at the end of the game, Oklahoma State was able to hit some big plays and put some points up. Then they came back and lost a really frustrating game. I'm sure frustrating for them in that they gave up 14 points in the fourth quarter. They were up 37-27 on FAU, and they gave up 14 points in the final 7 minutes of the game to lose that game. They come back. They play New Mexico. They're up 9-0 in the fourth quarter. They give up 21 points in the fourth quarter to lose that one, and then came back this week and found a way to win against FIU. And I think it's a football team that I think has an awful lot of talent. I look at them on offense, and I look at, you know, I look at their big up front on their offensive line. They've got three running backs. They're playing a lot of receivers. They have a lot of depth and a lot of different guys that they're playing. Probably the biggest thing for them right now is what they've been going through at their quarterback position. They've now played three quarterbacks. I know they had a starter. He got hurt, and then the backup came in and got hurt. And then this last weekend, you know, they put their third-team quarterback in, and he goes 14-17, throwing the ball for 150 yards and rushes for 117 yards, I think it was, before you start taking some sacks out of it. Very athletic, big, 6'2", 220. Which quarterback we get, we really don't know, but I look at the cast that they have surrounding him and just have a lot of experience and a lot of talent on this football team offensively. Defensively, it starts up front. Their defensive end, 50, I know was one of the national players of the week, had three sacks last week, was one of the all-conference players, had a sack against us last year, I'm almost positive Singletary did. Very talented player. They get back another defensive end who was a freshman, all-conference player a year ago, is back this week. And then it all starts with him up front. When you look at 97 inside, he is one of the better defensive linemen in this league. Incredibly talented, very strong, very physical. He's a transfer. He had originally signed, I believe, with Oklahoma State. And I think he is very talented, but it all starts with him up front. They are ranked in the top three or four in pretty much every total offense, rushing, I mean, total defense, rushing defense, scoring defense, passing defense, and pass efficiency defense. They're all in the top three or four in this league, and one of the better defensive fronts we're going to play. Linebackers are very physical, and safeties is a lot like their wide receivers. They have a lot of them, they play a lot of them, and they just have a lot of depth on this football team. Very solid on the special teams. Larry Coker's done a really nice job with this team, and it's going to pose a great challenge for us. Our players understand what's on the line, what we're playing for, and as we get into this, coming off the open date, having an opportunity to take a breath and get some guys healthy, they understand the focus that we need to have to play this game, and having the opportunity to play it at home is exciting right now. So I think this football team was very focused when we brought them back last night after a couple days away, but I think they're really ready to get into this and understand everything that's on the line and the quality of the football team that we're about to play right now.
Not to sound cliche, but obviously turnovers are usually the biggest factors in most games. And,
yes.
And looking at UTSA, they've turned the ball over at least once in every game they have, so they're prone to maybe turnovers, and it could be the quarterback situation.
Right.
And you guys seem to, when y'all get the turnovers, that's when y'all really seem to be rolling. So obviously, I'm sure that's a focus kind of going in the week that you feel like that you your defense can force the pressure and make the turnovers.
Well, I think it's we talked about it last night as a team. And you talk about where they are as an offense and defense, but it's also where we are as an offense and defense. And we have to play this game as a team. It's not just about winning on defense or just about winning on offense. It's how do you take the strengths and weaknesses that you have and combine them together to put your game plan together to go attack this team. They have created 13 turnovers, which is, I believe, third or fourth in this league in number of turnovers created and what they've gained. They've made a lot of things happen because they're big and strong and physical and don't give up a lot of rushing yards up inside. So they've created them. So I think our offense has got to do a great job of protecting the football. And defensively, we got to play it really aggressive and try and make some things happen with it.
You talked about how they've given up a lot of points in the fourth quarter.
Yep.
That have resulted in some losses for them. But do you think it goes back to maybe some of their they've had some slowness on offense, and it's left the defensive line out there for a while, and that is the strength of their defense? Do you think that has anything to do with it?
I think it's part of that, and I also think it's part of their offense turning the ball over and their defense being put in a bad field position. We talked about at Oklahoma, our defense, or at Auburn, our defense gives up a 5-yard drive. You know, they gave up 42 yards in two drives and had 14 points on the board. And it's kind of very similar to what their defense. They've had some drives that they haven't given up a lot of yards, but they're giving up points because of where they have to start with their offense turning the ball over, which goes back to some of their quarterback woes and who's going to play right now. And that's going to be, you know, one of the question marks. But I tell you what, they've got some pretty good choices. There aren't many people that can go 14-17 for 150 yards and rush for 100 yards as a quarterback with your third guy. I mean, they have some depth there, and Coach Coker's been there for a while, and he's built a solid program. And I think that's probably one of the things that's hurt them right now is just the turnovers, where they were able to give up some points on some cheap drives, where their defense was kind of playing with their back on the edge of a cliff.
it looks like he's either going to be the starter or the guy that played this past week.
Yes.
Let's talk about, are they about the same kind of player? It seems like the third string is kind of their runner.
More athletic, more of an athletic runner, can do some different things. But, you know, they asked him to do everything. He was 14 to 17 throwing the ball, so it's not like he just ran with it. But he did add 100 yards in rushing yards. But more athletic, running around. Obviously, the seniors, more experienced, been there, probably more of a thrower. But wouldn't surprise me if we saw either one. Wouldn't surprise me if we saw both of them. I don't know the health status of, you know, what they got going on in their camp right now, but we got to prepare for both. But they run the same offense with both quarterbacks, so it's not like you're preparing for two different systems.
You mentioned in your opening statement about just the momentum, trying to come back and have another complete game after having mm-hmm. a bye week. So what are the challenges of doing that this week, knowing that you guys played so well, but then you had the break, and coming out and trying to execute that again?
I think one of the things that we really tried to do with that was last week, and that's why we didn't go out and put on shorts and just go throw the ball around and say it's an open date. We got after it. I mean, like I said, we put on full pads and we went team for about 30, 40 minutes a day of, you know, like I said, 70 to 80 plays. We're trying to maintain that sharpness and that crispness as a football team and trying to be as much on a regular week as you would be, but trying to get guys healthy. And so we came back to practice last night. I thought the players were really sharp, really focused, really dialed in. I feel like it's going to be a sign of their maturity and how well they can handle this open date and take that enthusiasm that came out of the UTEP game and carry that 2 weeks over into UTSA.
What is that injury report? I know you said last Tuesday when you were like briefed on it, everyone was all set, but has anything changed?
At this point, no. I mean, we'll learn a little bit more Tuesday. I mean, that's always when you kind of get a little bit better idea. You've got, you know, like last week, Kenneth Dixon was in a boot, you know, just precautionary to make sure that healed. By the time we got to game time, you know, he was fine. Right now, I feel good about everybody coming back. I mean, right now, probably, you know, Paul Turner's a guy that is constantly battling through some of the injuries that he's had. We'll have to wait and see where he is, and probably Bo Feet. But everybody else right now, I feel great about almost everybody last night. I mean, even Xavier Woods, I feel great. He looked fantastic last night running around after the knee injury a couple weeks ago. He looked really good. But Dora's back. He's running around really well. It's nice to have him back out on the field. Anytime you've been playing without a starting defensive end, and the way that guys like Aaron Brown and Taylor and Schrang have been playing, when you can add Dora back, it just adds that much more depth to the position. So right now I feel really good about it, but we'll get a little bit better evaluation on where we are with a couple of those guys on Tuesday.
Coming into this season, a lot was kind of made of maybe circling on this game by outside people, maybe looking at this game as a battle for the top of the conference. Obviously, UTSA 2-4, probably not a start that they wanted. Are you surprised that they've kind of stumbled out of the gate?
Not when you watch the games, you know what I mean? Because when you watch the games, they're 3-point away from beating Arizona, who I watched go beat Oregon, who I watched lose to Southern Cal on a last-second field goal last week, and they're in a 3-point game and had their opportunities to win that one. When you look at the caliber of team they are, now they get a couple turnovers late, they lose a couple games that they definitely had an opportunity to win, but you can change 3 or 4 plays for them as a team, and they're sitting there 5-1 right now with a win against Arizona, and sitting here 2-0 in the league, and we're right back to where they are. I think it's that close, and I think winning in college football is hard. You know, it's hard to win week in and week out. And I think they've got a very talented team, and I think they're the same football team that a lot of people pick to win the division. And that's how we're approaching it, and that's how we're looking at it. So I certainly expect it to be a big game. Excited that we have the opportunity to play it at home. And I think the 11 a.m. kickoff is going to be great. I mean, we're going to be eating spaghetti and chicken breast at 7 a.m. getting ready for pregame meals. So I think the players will be excited about it as well.
Is that something that you're used to? I know I know ECU kind of had some early kickoff times and stuff, but are those early kickoff times something you're used to?
I don't know, used to. I mean, I hate the waiting game. You know, these late night games where you wake your team up and you meet and then you sit around and twiddle your thumbs and, you know, look at the clouds roll by, you know, waiting for the game time to get here. This is one, you get out of bed, you eat pregame meal, you get on the bus, you go to the stadium, you get dressed, you go out and you play the game. I mean, there's not a lot of time of sitting around and thinking about it. It's getting all your preparation work done the week of the game. And Friday, when you put them to bed, all the meetings are done at that point. You You may have one meeting as a team, but all your offensive and defensive meetings are done. The game plans are finished up, polished up, and they're kind of in the vault, and you're ready to go to work. So I like the early kickoff. I know it's going to get in the way of some people's tailgating, but I mean they're going to have to come to the game and tailgate after the game. That's what everybody will have the opportunity to do. But I'm looking forward to the early kick.
Speaking of your opponent, I think the thing that interests most people about this game is the coaching matchup. I mean, it's not very often that you have a guy with as much success as Coker had at Miami that's still coaching the CUSA.
Well, and he has done a great job with that program, and I've known Coach Coker for a long time and have a lot of respect for him. He's a fundamental football coach. He's a disciplined football coach, and his team reflects it. They don't have a lot of foolish penalties. They play incredibly hard. They're not real complicated. You look at what they do. They take the approach that we're not going to try and out-scheme you. We do what we do, and we're going to do what we do better than you do what you do. And that's kind of how he approaches it. Very good fundamentally, and when you have the horses they have up front, it's a great mindset to have. And so he's done a great job building that program. He's got some quality young men in that program and some really good football players, and I think it'll be a great matchup.
And it's still it's a new program right now, and a lot of people don't realize, but that San Antonio area is packed with talent. And, even on a down year, I'm sure that they've got some size and speed that maybe a lot of other teams struggle to get.
Well, the one thing they don't have to do is they don't have to worry about going real far to find recruits when you're in the state of Texas. I mean, they've got them, and I'm sure that San Antonio is probably one of the bigger cities in the country that didn't have college football before San Antonio made this move. So I think they've got a great base to recruit from. They got a great fan base. They play in a really nice, play in a really nice arena there in San Antonio in the Dome. I think they have a good setup. And they're a really good program. And these young men that came in there 3, 4, and 5 years ago that have played a lot of football, because I don't know what that number is, but we are one of the younger teams in the country with 4th and 5th year seniors. I don't know what that number is for them, but I would imagine they are one of the higher ones when I look at the number of 4th and 5th year juniors and seniors I look at on the roster. So they have a lot of experience, and they have a very quality football team, and Coach Coker's built a quality program.
Singletary, UTSA, I know you mentioned him, but he just got named Defensive Player of the Week, CUSA.
Yep.
How do you
I think he was a national player, too, or was he a runner-up or something? I think he's
probably, but they conference just announced him.
Yep.
How do you go about trying to slow him down? He did a little bit of everything. He had a bunch of tackles for loss, a couple sacks, forced a couple fumbles, recovered a couple fumbles. Do you change your approach, offensive line, trying to maybe keep in a running back, Chip, or the tight end, anything like that?
Well, you've got to say, I mean, can your tackles handle them? You know, you've got to look at it and say it'll be a great challenge for Mitchell Bell and Dale Brown, the two edges of our defense. But he is a very active player. And I think one of the things that makes him so good is you have to be careful, because not only do they have him, but then you start talking with some of the people they have in the middle. Their defensive line, like I said, it's one of the best in this league. You've got to do something to help them. You better have a plan. I'm going to put it that way. You may not run it every single play, but you better have a plan. If he's wreaking havoc, how are you going to try and slow him down and protect your quarterback or get a run game going? And I think that's one of the reasons that they're as good as they are statistically. Excuse me.
Looking at kind of the conference as a whole, Marshall is now in the top 25. And so are most CUSA coaches, obviously unless you're playing them, kind of rooting them on to kind of be as good as they can to kind of help the conference outlook?
I think it definitely helps the conference having a team ranked. I mean, I think that definitely helps. And I know that everybody that plays against them is going to have to play a good game. Doc has done a really nice job there, and they've got a really good quarterback and a really good offense and a really good defense, and they're scoring a lot of points. But I think this league is a great league, and I think when you take those big five away, I mean, I know there's a lot of people right now that are trying to verbally vie for who's got that sixth spot, but I would think that Conference USA, when you look at our non-conference schedule and our non-conference record and what we're doing against some of these other leagues, I think Conference USA is as strong as anybody when you're fighting for that sixth spot. And I think Marshall doing what they're doing is a tribute to this league and their program and their team. I think, the only thing that probably is going to keep Marshall down when you start talking about the polls is having some of those quality non-conference wins. And they were stuck in a position where they got dropped by a couple people this year. through no control of their own. They got dropped by some schools that were moving conferences, and they were stuck trying to find games late, and they have not had the opportunity to play non-conference two or three teams that are ranked in the top 25 to really show what quality program they have. But I think they've done a great job, and they have a really good team.
Anything else? All right. Thank you.
Thanks, Coach.
Thank you for joining our fireside.